Here we are at the end of another week, and this week on God Is, we've been spending time in the Bible learning that God is self-existent. I've tried to move us through the biblical text at a certain pace. Not too quick, but not too slow. I want to redeem every second we have together since our time is short. Recently, someone wrote to me expressing a desire for a longer period of time together each day, and that's certainly something to pray about for the future. Should the God Is broadcast be more of the 30-minute variety? But for now, in these 15 minutes, let's use it to challenge one another from the Scriptures to know God. And when we left off yesterday, I invited you to read the Old Testament book of Daniel and chapter 4. Did you do it? I said that if you had more time, you could read all of Daniel chapters 1 through 4, but for those of you with less time, Daniel chapter 4 would be a great read. I hope you accepted my invitation, and if you got busy yesterday and did not, let me see if I can briefly set the context for you. And to begin with, let me read the key verse, which is Daniel 4, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but God does according to God's will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off God's hand or say to God, "What have you done?" There are six things we have to understand about the context of this verse, and I'm going to give these to you quickly. First, the Babylonians and their leader, King Nebuchadnezzar, have taken Jerusalem captive. So when we read about Daniel and his three friends, also Jews, we have to understand that at this point the Israelites are in the Babylonian captivity. Daniel is in exile. Second, God gives Daniel the gift of interpreting dreams. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17 says, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Third, King Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and when he dreamt, he originally turned to the Chaldeans to interpret his dreams. According to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 2, these were magicians, the conjurers, and the sorcerers. But none of them could interpret the king's dreams. So later in chapter 2, Daniel, after much prayer, made this offer to the king. I am quoting Daniel 2, verse 24. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Fourth, as chapter 2 continues to demonstrate, Daniel properly recounted in detail what the king dreamt, and Daniel also provided proper interpretation of the dream. As a result, Nebuchadnezzar says the following about God. This is Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, "Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery." And then the king promoted Daniel to be ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And take my word for it, that was a really big deal. In Daniel chapter 3, the true story gets cooking as Nebuchadnezzar, despite what he has said about the one true God, Daniel's God, sets up a false idol. And anyone who does not bow to it is to be cast into a furnace of blazing fire. And when three of Daniel's friends, also Jews who worship the one true God, refuse to bow down to the idol, they are thrown into the fiery furnace, but they live. In fact, listen to what Nebuchadnezzar observes as he tells it in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." The three men came out totally unscathed and in perfect health. And again in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar declares, quote, "No other god, small g, is able to deliver in this way." By the way, if you are wondering who that fourth man was, email me. And when we come to chapter 4, one thing leads to another. Nebuchadnezzar has another vision, and when Daniel interprets the vision, exactly what Daniel said came to pass. Basically, by way of a quick summary, Nebuchadnezzar went crazy. He went mad because God had taken away his kingdom and driven him away from mankind. Friends, if you have not read all of Daniel chapters 1 through 4, please do so. This portion of Scripture obviously deserves more time than I can give it today. But here we come to verse 35. Let me read our text again. Daniel 4, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but God does according to God's will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. and no one can thwart off God's hand or say to God, what have you done? And who actually speaks these words? Who says this? In your Bible, you will notice this is in quotation marks. Nebuchadnezzar does. This is the sixth thing I want you to notice. These are the words of the king after the period in which his mental health has been restored. In fact, let me read verses 34 to 37 so you will see what I mean. Daniel 4, now verses 34 to 37. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? At that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all of his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Okay, now let's look at verse 35 and see how this all relates to the self-existent God. Nebuchadnezzar affirms what we have been learning. First, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. This is also reflected in Psalm 39 and Isaiah 40. The sentiment is all throughout the scripture. Isaiah 40 verses 15 and 17 says, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. All the nations are as nothing before God. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. Oh yes, who are the nations compared to God? Just who do we think we are? Nebuchadnezzar was king over one of the greatest empires of all time, yet this was his conclusion. And the same holds true for America today. We think God needs us. God must have us. We're one of the few nations founded on the principles of the Bible. But you know what? All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Second, Nebuchadnezzar says, God does according to God's will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. Well, 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 this definitely affirms what I said earlier this week about the will of God. God does what God wants to do in heaven and among all the people of the earth. God's not taking any instruction from us. God does not base his decisions, his divine will, on what we want. Our desires for ourselves are not God's desires for us. This leads us to Nebuchadnezzar's third observation in Daniel 4, verse 35. Third, and no one can ward off God's hand. None of us can stop God. God's on the move. God is the sovereign king of the whole universe, and we are all his subjects. He puts his hand in the glove called providence and moves us all along according to his goodwill and pleasure. In our pride, we think we can resist the living God. Nebuchadnezzar thought exactly that in the earlier portions of Daniel that I summarized for us today. But in the end, he acknowledges what we believers already know. No one can ward off God's hand. And then fourth, in Daniel 4, verse 35, King Nebuchadnezzar admits correctly that no one can say to God, what have you done? Whenever I read this phrase, what have you done? I hear in it the tone of a mother that went out for a couple of hours and came home to the house, and the house has been destroyed by her teenage children. Or I hear it in the tone of an employer who calls an employee that's made a big mistake into her office and asks, what have you done? And sometimes we use this tone with God. Really, we do. We have the guts to do that as if God has somehow made a mistake in our lives. As if perfect God has made a mess of our lives or had somehow destroyed us such that we shall never recover. Have you ever looked at the circumstances of your life and asked, God, what have you done? In this one verse, Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan king, by the way, summarizes for us what it means for God to be self-existent. We do not offer God anything that he somehow needs. We are tools in His hand. He is not a tool in our hand. We cannot question the perfection of God because He is perfect within Himself, and everything He does is done perfectly. He does not make mistakes. God does whatever God wants to do, a decision that He makes within Himself without any outside input, and no one can stop, and no one can ward off His hand. This is how the self-existent nature of God affects you and I. I suggest you hold Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35 in your minds and hearts as we move forward. This verse is one of the many we looked at this week in both the Old and New Testaments. I give you a lot of scripture on purpose. Whenever I tell you something of who God is, I must be certain that this is what the Bible says about God. And I think the Bible is very clear that God exists. God lives. God is alive. God has existence. And God has the ground of His existence within Himself. God is independent in Himself. And that means that God is totally and completely free. He's free from outside control. He cannot be in any way controlled by another. And God never has and never will depend on another for His livelihood and His subsistence. God is absolutely free from any authority. No one can tell God what to do or who to be. God is independent in His thinking. God is independent in His actions. God is independent in His will. Oh, God is great. He is too wonderful for words. And this weekend, I hope and I pray that you'll join me in worshiping God. Think about all we've learned together. Probe the Bible. Ask questions. Seek answers. Reach out to me by email if you want to. And when you come back on Monday, we'll continue this discussion, spending time in the Bible as we uncover the self-existence of God. Enjoy your weekend, everybody, and then join me again on Monday, for God is...